Remain standing as you open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to use for our text this morning a verse that's given by our Lord Jesus after He has given to His people the parable of the sower and the seed. I read verse number 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Two great principles are very noticeable in the Gospels. The first is that God gives His grace to the empty, to those who are undeserving. In Luke 1:53, the Bible says, He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. The second principle is that where God has given a measure of grace to someone, He wants to give more. James 4:6 says, He giveth more grace. And so God is not stingy or sparing with His grace. There's no limit to the abundance of the grace which those who come to Him may receive. These two principles do not contradict each other, but actually work together to make each other complete. Are you as yet unsaved today? Then the principle with which you have to do is this, that God is willing to feel the empty and feed the hungry. You must go to Him with nothing of your own except that you have this great need and ask God to be merciful to you. In all of your sinfulness, you must look to Him for pardon. In all of your nakedness, you must run to Him for clothing. In all of your weakness, you must appeal to Him for strength. In all of your death, you must look to Him for life. Ephesians 2:1 says, And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Grace is for the undeserving, the guilty, the needy. Otherwise, it would not be grace. And if you'll come to Jesus, He will give you undeserved love and unmerited favor. Aren't you glad? And many of you have experienced that already in your life. But this morning, if you are here as a trembling sinner, you have to go to Him with your empty bucket that He may fill it out of the deep well of His overflowing love and mercy and grace. When a man has received the grace of God, he then comes under the second principle. But here he must take care that he has indeed fully surrendered to Christ and received that which God in the gospel presents to him. For if he doesn't, at the very beginning, receive really and truly the true grace of God, he will begin a life of deception that will end in shame. If there be a mistake as to the actual reception of Christ into his heart, there may be the appearance of having Christ. This appearance may last for a while. But if there's really nothing begun, there will be no addition to it. And in the end, all will be barren and unfruitful. The Bible says the seed that fell on good ground brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If I truly have received the light of heaven into my soul, however small its beginnings, I think the Lord will add to that glorious light and increase it. And as I follow on to know Him, I shall be as a shining light which shineth more and more to the perfect day, and so will you. But if I am a mere pretender, I will fade away. If I'm a sincere believer, I shall become brighter and brighter and more fruitful and more fruitful. It's this last principle to which I wish to speak in this message this morning. And I pray that the Holy Ghost will bless it greatly to our hearts, so that those who profess to be the people of God may be sure that their profession is founded on the truth. And I pray also that those who are mere hearers of the gospel may be disturbed in their consciences and aroused from their sleep of death. This illustrates, this principle is illustrated in the parable of the sower. You will find that this saying of our Lord occurs three times in connection with the parable of the sower. Besides our text, you'll find it in Mark 4:25 and also in Luke 8 and verse 18, where we read, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." You see, this principle must be very important, or else our Lord would not have taken care to have it recorded by three gospel writers, and He must have intended that we read it in light of this parable, or He would not have connected it with this parable. This parable was spoken in reference to the hearing of the Word of God. To know the mind of the Spirit's always wise to view a passage in its context. And so our Savior's first picture in the parable of the sower is that of seed falling upon the wayside or on the hard road. There was much traffic through the field, a footpath which was trodden hard by men and feet ran from one end to the other, no doubt, and a handful of seed fell upon that path. And just so the gospel falls upon those whose minds are occupied with prejudices and pursuits and ambitions and the cares of this world. And these make so much traffic through their minds that they become hardened toward the gospel. And it never reaches the inner man. It lies upon the hard surface, a rejected thing. And when they hear it, it goes in one ear and out the other. Its truth is never allowed to enter into the deep recesses of the soul and take root. People may come to church, and yet they leave the same person they were. They go out to do the same things. Their bodies may have been here, but their hearts were far away. They see, but they do not perceive. They hear, but they do not understand. Their minds are elsewhere. I remember preaching a revival some time ago, and I happened to notice one teenage girl who every time she came, she would bring a novel. And she would read that book during the time that I was preaching the Word of God. Several people were saved that week, but that girl was not one of them because her mind was occupied with something else. I had someone to tell me some time ago that they were speaking to a lady that was in their family, and they knew this lady was lost and had lived an immoral lifestyle. And they came and sat under my preaching, and they asked the lady going home, said, "Did you hear what the preacher said today?" And this lady said, "No, I didn't hear. My mind was somewhere else. I didn't even listen to him." And so if you're here this morning and not listening to the preacher, you will not be helped by the sermon. Your mind is hard. It won't receive the Word of God. It rejects it. And therefore, there is no help for you today. The Savior represents the birds of the air as taking away the seed which fell upon the roadside and devouring it. And He tells us by the way of explanation that Satan comes and takes away the Word, lest in any aftertime it should obtain an entrance into the heart. How many of our hearers are of this kind? They lose what they have because their hearts are hard and impenetrable. Their attendance at worship is coming and going and coming and going and nothing more. They're like a door that turns one way to let you in and another way to let you out. but it comes to rest at the same place every time. Nothing gets to their hearts. Like the wayside, they don't allow themselves to receive anything. And receiving nothing, they continue to receive nothing. And the result is that they go from bad to worse. They become more and more hardened against the gospel. But those who really do hear and drink in the truth become capable of hearing and understanding more. More mysteries are opened to them. Deeper truths are revealed. And they perceive a greater sweetness and preciousness in the Word of God. But those who do not receive the Word lose what little impression the Word once made on them. And while some receive it into their hearts and are truly saved, to others, oh, what a weariness it becomes to have to sit through a preaching service and hear that old man preach and carry on. In those, Satan is doing his work thoroughly and is taking away from the hard heart all desire towards the Word and all interest in it. Then there are those, the Bible says, Jesus said, who received the Word in stony places. They seem to be eager to hear and rejoice because it had become a message to them. It had come their way. They heard it. They received it with joy. Said, this gospel is for me. I've found peace in heaven. I'm going to be happy. I'm never going to be worried again. But here are people that have not counted the cost. They've not weighed the truth or surrendered fully and deeply to the Lord. Here are people where there has been no repentance of sin. There's been no sense of guilt. There has been no humbling of themselves before God. There has been no brokenness of spirit, no inner conflict, no work of the Holy Ghost in the soul. No new creature coming forth. Just a happy-go-lucky decision to accept religion. And when that's the case, what will happen? They will soon fling away that which they have so flippantly embraced. When the sun is up, the plant that has no root withers. Oh, how many have we seen that have come forward and services much like this today. And they make professions of faith and they say, Pastor, I'd like to be baptized. And oh, what a joy it is to become a member of the church and of the family of God. But you know, it's not long until you don't see them anymore. What happened? They just withered away. Verse 21 says, when persecution arises, the unregenerate convert will be offended. Luke 8:13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Our Savior warns against this in the language of the text. If you truly receive what you hear, you shall have more. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But if, like the stony ground, you never really receive the word deep into your soul, you're just a surface Christian. You're a Christian in name only. You have a name to live, but are dead. You've simply allowed the seed to sprout on the surface soil, which conceals the rock of your unrenewed nature. And then when the trials come, when the temptations come, you will fall away. The sprouting of the grain so prematurely, without repentance, without brokenness, without becoming a new creature in Christ and receiving His Spirit into the innermost depths of your soul, there's going to be a rapid withering when the trials come and all will be gone. True salvation is not something you can put on and take off like a coat. It must be a part and parcel of yourselves, running like a thread through all of your thoughts and your desires and your plans, so that you would be willing to depart with anything in life except for Jesus. Your prayer is, take the world, but give me Jesus. Christ is all I need, really. And so His Spirit is in you, in the very heart and core of your being. And that being true, you shall know more and more of His blessings. But I want to say this morning, if His Spirit is not within you, if all you have is a rootless sprouting of surface religion, you will surely fall and wither away when trouble and temptation and persecution arises. Christ is exclusive. He will not be one of two masters. There is a third type of soil into which the good seed of the Word of God falls, and that is the thorn-infested crowd. The soil received the good seed after a fashion, but then it also received the nettles and the thorns, and all these began to grow together. And that's not a happy family. It's more like the devil's garden. Some people who call themselves Christians want to renew the old league, which was established in the days of Noah and brought on the flood, when the sons of God and the daughters of men were joined in an alliance. A lot of people today think they can make the world a better place in which to live by uniting with the world and being like the world. They frown at forsaking the debasing amusements of the ungodly. Their thought is, we can improve their tone and their quality. Really? If heaven were to go down to hell, do you think Satan would be anxious to reform? You think he would? Oh, no. Oh, no, he's already rejected heaven anyway. He's rejected the government of God. He wants nothing to do with God. And that's the way a lot of this world is. They want nothing to do with God. That's the reason you can't take your Bible into school and read it. That's the reason you can't preach Jesus on a college campus. The world wants nothing to do with Jesus. Hear the voice of the Lord. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. Let the thorns be thorns, and let not the wheat attempt to grow among them. Wheat cannot grow and be productive in that kind of an uncongenial society. Wheat can grow and prosper and be fruit-bearing when it separates itself. God will have the whole of our heart or none of it. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Jewish people heard Christ preach the gospel and said, no man's ever spake like this. And yet they would not receive him. They persecuted him and hounded him to death. And when he gave them loaves and fishes and performed the miracles, they would hear him. But when he offered them no other food but the bread of heaven, they turned against him and walked away. Something similar is happening today. Men hear the gospel, but they don't receive it into their hearts. And after a while, they grow weary of it. They become tired of being perpetually reminded of a danger in which they don't believe. They become tired of being invited to a feast which they despise. And so they leave. Or if they stay out of habit, the gospel seems to have lost all power over them and they have no appreciation for the ministry. But you know something? If you have true grace in your heart, it's going to grow. It's going to abound. If the bulb of a lily is really alive, the flower will come before long. But if that bulb is dead, you can place it in the best soil and water and nurture it every day, but nothing will ever come of it. It's dead. But a seed may be so small you can scarcely see it. If it be a living seed, it will sprout and grow. For outgrowth, there must be inner life. If you have been born again of the Holy Spirit, you have that inner life in you. And you have the potential of bearing much fruit. True grace grows. You may have some doubts, some fears, but you will grow out of it as your faith deepens and becomes established. You're not always to be like an infant in arms. We should be growing daily, spiritually, and maturing. Oh, you're so glad to have your little ones come home, don't you? They may be little and sweet and tiny babies, but you're not at all dissatisfied with their being little because of their recent birth. A child of 6 months old is not expected to be very tall. You're pleased to have a son or a daughter, though they be little. You admire their littleness even. But suppose your child lives to be 20 years old and should still be the same size he or she is now, still a baby in stature. You would be really distressed about that, and you'd be thinking, surely something is wrong. You young believers this morning need not mind being little. We expect you to be little. But it does not do for older folk who have been Christians 20, 30, 40 years to be babies still. If that is the case, we shall begin to be afraid that you're not a child in the Lord's family at all. For divine life grows. You can pass by a pasture as you travel down the road. That dead post out there, which you saw 20 years ago, is the same post still. It's no bigger. It's no smaller. It's only altered by becoming rotten underground. But that tree which you saw 20 years ago that had life in it, what a difference there is in that. I have a pecan tree in my front yard. And that pecan tree is about 20 years old. And it's unbelievable how that thing has grown. I planted it when it was just a little sapling. A dear, precious Christian lady gave that to me. Brother Jim Cooper's sister. And that thing grew. And it started bearing pecans. I mean, so much so till I've had to figure out a way to keep the squirrels out of it because they love it. But it has life in it. 20 years ago, it was just a little sapling. You could bend it any way you wanted it to go. But now you won't move it. Now it's this big. And it ought to be so with us. God has ordained life in His people and given to us the power to bear fruit for Him. Have we obtained this life principle? Do we really have this heavenly seed deep in our souls? Most of you profess to be people of God this morning. Are you really so? Are you changed and converted from what you used to be? I have known many people who were professors for a long time, and yet they finally admitted that they were not Christians at all, but had deceived themselves and their families in a false profession. I'm afraid that there are some who will never open their eyes to their willful self-deception till they find themselves in the place called hell, when that discovery will come too late. Some time ago, I was preaching another revival. I remember on a Tuesday night, one man, father of two children, taught the teenagers in Sunday school. And he came forward that night in tears. Literally trembling. And his testimony was, I'm not saved. I'm going to hell. I need to be saved tonight. I want to say to you, we need to come to God and ask the Lord as did David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. To him that hath shall be given, but to him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And finally this morning, there are those who are insincere. They've been brought up to go to church and they've been in church all their lives. But did you know it's possible to be in church all your life and really never sincerely receive the Lord Jesus for yourself? Many grow up in church. And the sad statistics today are these. Majority of young people who grow up in church today will leave for college, they'll leave for the military, they'll leave for a career and never come back to church. I told a dear woman one time, she told me she was Catholic, said she had been baptized as a baby in the church and wanted to know if that was sufficient. And I said to her, ma'am, that sprinkling as a baby was something that your parents did. They did that for you. That wasn't something you chose to do. And today God is asking you, what is your choice? What are you choosing to do? Is there faith in your heart? Do you believe in God? Or will you go off to college or the military and completely turn away from the Lord? A lot of folks come to church and they'll find fault with everything I do and say, then finally quit altogether. The sermons are dull and boring. Oh, it looked like it might rain today. I think I feel a headache coming on. Strange that none of these things will keep that same person from work the next day. Any little excuse will make a man stay home on Sunday, and eventually they won't come at all. And so there is taken away from them that which they really did not have to start with. Oh, the preacher's getting old. He doesn't preach like he used to. I used to get something out of the message, but he's changed. A lot of other people don't think so. People still getting saved. Some getting blessed. What happened? This man lost what he seemed to have. And now he has no power to appreciate the gospel at all. He used to stand in the aisles all the time, longing to catch every word and then go home and go through a prayer. But nothing affects him now. Headed straight to perdition and nothing to stop him. Unconverted people can keep up appearances for a while, but unless it's genuine, it's not going to last. A drunkard may give up the bottle for a while, clean up his language, but unless the work of grace goes to his heart, it will not last. If it is merely external reformation, the man often goes back to be worse than he was before. Jesus told about the evil spirit which had left him, returning that evil man. The evil spirit left his habitation and But he comes back and returns and takes with him seven more spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And Jesus said, the last end of that man is worse than the first. The most pathetic people in the world are those who, having stopped short of true salvation, are only trying to keep up the appearance of it. They really don't believe what they profess to believe. They have no internal evidence or proof of salvation. Their religion has never changed them, never stirred them to the depths of their being, and at last it becomes impossible to keep up the appearance of it. They really... It's like Judas, who sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver and a rope. Others have settled down in total indifference, and they're just sleeping themselves into hell. Where the deception is kept up unto the end, oh, what an awaking awaits the phony Christian, when he will have to go from the hearing of the gospel to the howling of the lost, from the pew in the house of God to his own place in hell, when he'll be dragged away from the cup of the Lord to drink the cup of devils, when he'll be shut out of the association of saints and the angels of God and dwell forever with the condemned, when that God whom he professes to worship shall reject him, and Jesus himself shall say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, I pray that God will save from such doom every one of us here today. May we never hear those awesome words, depart from me. I never knew you. Today, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, this is decision time. This is a time to receive the Word of God. It's time to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and the innermost recesses of your being. It's time today to become a genuine Christian. You're either growing or you're withering. You're either adding to grace more and more and to the point that grace is abounding in your life and you're becoming fruitful for the Lord, or you're just drying up and doing less and less. How is it with you today? If you're not truly saved, come to Jesus today. Open your heart. Fully surrender to Him and ask Him to save you. Give you a new heart and a new spirit. And He will do that in grace. Father, thank You for this day. Bless our people as they respond to the Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall